This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Of the Supremes, you remember them? I'm sure you do. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us as this month rolls along. It is Monday, October the 24th. Wow. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Annelle Shaleen of the Quincy Institute on why are ex-U.S. military leaders taking jobs with countries that commit human rights abuses. Have you heard about that? We're going to talk with her about that. Stay tuned. And will New York have its first Republican governor in several generations? There's a good chance. And we will talk with our eye in the New York sky, Angelo Ceresi, to find out what he thinks about it a little bit later in the show. Also, we are going to focus on Joe Biden's history of berating reporters when they ask him tough questions. Do you notice how quickly he snaps? We got a few that we'll bring you. We'll go down. What is it? We'll go down the memory lane with them.
Can you please define tough question? Is it anything other than what ice cream flavor he's
eating
today?
I knew you were going to say that. Oh. No, pretty much no. After the ice cream questions, he gets a little bit cranky. Mm-hmm. Is that the word? Is that the way you get when you're, you know, wandering around in your 80s? I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one there, too. These are the top 10 OSHA workplace violations. I wonder if we have any here. I think you're going to find that interesting, so stay tuned for that a little bit later. All right. Oh, by the way, we got to always tip our hat to Senior Voice America. They come on before our show. In fact, they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. So don't forget to watch them, Tim Bryce and company. Senior Voice America. Oh, yeah. Hey, Ed, it is so nice to be able to come into the studio, and let's just put it this way. Our technical glitches are pretty much over with. We still have a couple, but we're getting close to finally having everything work as per normal.
It is. Yeah. And it's been trying times for Lola herself.
I'm sure.
Myself and Bobby.
And Bobby.
But
I've been thinking about you guys a lot. Yeah. I mean, folks don't realize how tough it is when everything is going correctly, to do the things that you do for the radio station.
Yeah.
And can never credit you enough. You're a great pal, but you're also so good at what you do. And I've always appreciated that. All right. Let's take a look at some of the things that are going on these days. And I find this to be particularly interesting. If this gives you any idea of what Democrats really think about the border. Listen to this. The administration of the governor of Arizona, his name is Doug Ducey, is pushing back against a demand by the Biden administration that it take down a number of shipping containers that it's using to plug a hole in the incomplete border wall. Saying this, that the border states cannot rely on the federal government to ensure its security. Well, no kidding. Here's the director of Arizona's Department of Emergency and Military Affairs. His name is Alan Clark. The myriad of federal agencies that claim jurisdiction on the southern border but do nothing to prevent the public nuisance caused by illegal immigration and criminal activity that exploits the open border is quite frustrating to those that live, work, and recreate on that border and in our state. Now, the Bureau had written to the governor last week arguing that the move to fill nearly 4,000 feet of gaps in the border wall with shipping containers topped with razor wire was illegal. In other words, you have no right. You have no right to protect your border. Let us do it. We know better. Now get the shipping containers the hell out of there. We want to have as big a gap as we possibly can have so that we can maintain the kind of security that we feel is necessary. I mean, can you believe that the federal government is going after a state for trying to protect its own borders? Have we gotten to that point in our country where you have to beg and then argue with the federal government to do its job, and then if it's not doing its job and you try to do its job, you get chastised by them? So now the federal government wants those shipping containers torn away. It's surreal. It's surreal what is going on. These were double-stacked shipping containers. They were welded shut, and then they were topped with 4 feet of razor wire. It's kind of like the fencing we have around our radio station, you know, Ed. Isn't that pretty similar?
I've seen those people scale everything. You think that's going to stop them?
No, but it's going to stop a lot of them.
It's a bit of a deterrent, yes. But then you know what will happen. Someone will scale that, get cut up in the razor wire, and then sue the United States.
Oh, yeah, of course they will. No matter what. You're right about that. But you know what? At least they're trying to do something to have some sort of sanity at the border. I think the immigration issue is going to be a bigger factor than most people will be willing to admit or understand in this, obviously around Texas and Arizona and some of those states, even in California. But mainly, I think, in Texas and Arizona, where it's particularly bad. California, they pretty much have secured their their border. Yeah, you never
like
hear
they have to. I mean, who wants to really break into California? If anything, the wall's keeping them from leaving.
I think you're right. It's probably right.
Newsom's
kind of like Russia.
Newsom's running a guard gate.
Russia and China. But no, most of this is going on in Arizona and Texas. And these are the two states that are trying the hardest, as you probably know, to maintain some sort of security.
Well, I mean, I don't work for the federal government, but I might suggest to them that I understand. I've seen pictures of it. There are pieces of wall that has not been used and is sitting there, millions of dollars worth of wall, rusting away. Maybe they could use that stuff that's sitting there doing nothing? I don't know.
But you don't understand. They don't want to do that. They want the open border. Don't you understand the idea behind?
Well, I know that.
I know you do. So this is what's going on now. And it's come to this. So you know that the federal government is probably going to try and sue the state for putting up the shipping containers. Sue Arizona. This is how crazy it gets. In its letter, the Bureau of Reclamation says that Arizona placed containers on lands within the vicinity of the Morlos Dam, and also on land that is part of the Cocopah Indian Tribe's West Reservation. You know, those Cocopah pops they want it open. They want to go back and forth, I guess.
Because if you close it, somebody's going to write an email. Cocoa Puffs.
I wonder if they eat Cocoa Puffs. I've never heard of the Cocopah Indian tribe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it also said that the placement interferes with a Customs and Border Protection project to fill the gaps. Really? How long do I hold my breath until the Customs and Border Protection project is completed or even started? Oh, my goodness. All right. Enough about that. We are going to take our break. When we come back, Anel Shaleen of the Quincy Institute will join us. We're going to talk about why are ex-U.S. military leaders taking jobs in countries that commit human rights abuses.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's a little bit warm in the studio, I have to admit. If it isn't one thing, it's another. We are trying to get our air conditioning fixed. So normally, you'd think in late October, but this is Florida, so, you know, it's pretty warm still. And got the door open here, getting a little bit of a breeze. But anyway, enough about that. Delighted to have Annelle Shaleen join us. She is a research fellow at the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about a history of former U.S. military commanders that are taking lucrative contracts with a bunch of countries that are committing human rights abuses. I mean, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, Annelle. Welcome to Freedom Works. What's going on here? Apparently this comes from, is this an investigation by the Washington Post newspaper that brought this out?
Yeah, so these were revelations brought by the Washington Post, as well as POGO, the Program on Government Oversight. And they filed a successful lawsuit to finally gain access to this information. The Pentagon was working hard to try to prevent the public from knowing about the fact that more than 500 retired U.S. military personnel have taken jobs working for foreign governments since 2015. And so once this news broke last week, and, you know, this is really concerning because this raises questions about these people's loyalties and their priorities, especially because some of these individuals negotiated consulting gigs while they were still in active military service.
What are some of the countries that they're taking these jobs with that we need worry about?
So the majority are wealthy Persian Gulf monarchies, especially the UAE, but also Saudi Arabia, also Qatar. And all of these countries have pretty abysmal human rights records. People are probably familiar with the case of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, who was brutally murdered in 2018 at the orders of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. But, you know, it's also countries like Australia that don't necessarily have abysmal human rights records. But I think the point is here that this violates the Constitution, you know. Former military officials, former government officials are not supposed to work for foreign governments without the explicit permission of Congress. And in this case, Congress has outsourced that permission-giving process to the Pentagon. And the Pentagon has approved 95% of all requests. And so it essentially just seems to be a rubber stamp by which individuals are just allowed to go and work for any foreign government after they're done with their active service.
You know, it sounds like, I hate to say this, sounds like it, the Pentagon allowing or deciding is like the fox guarding the chicken coop. Because these people...
Exactly.
Yeah, these people are coming out of the Pentagon. So, you know, there's wink and a nod. But if that's the way our situation is with the Pentagon, our defense system, we got a real issue going on here. I mean, like you said, and I think, did you mention 15 retired U.S. generals and admirals?
Yeah.
Who have been
working
in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Right. And you know, unfortunately, I think this is contributing to what we've observed in recent years, that the public's trust in the military has significantly fallen for the first time in history. You know, even though the American public's trust in many institutions has eroded over time, for a long time that did not apply to the military. People still really trusted the military to look after the best interests of the public. But recent polling and just the past few years shows that that has really fallen precipitously, which is alarming. You know, we have to be able to trust that our military is looking after our national interests. And if some of our top decision makers are basing their military strategy on the hope for a nice, cushy gig after retirement, I mean, that's not being motivated by what's in America's best interest.
Yeah. We're talking with Annelle Shaleen. She is a research fellow at the Quincy Institute, about all these military people, especially some of the top people in the U.S. military, taking on these jobs with, in many cases, with countries that commit human rights abuses. And you mentioned, Annelle, many of these military people, they're negotiating their gigs while they're still in the service. They're not even retired yet. That's almost scary.
It really is. And I think just points to the impunity with which the Pentagon is accustomed to operating. You know, the DOD has never gone through an audit process. There's never been, you know, each year we see just ballooning Pentagon budgets as, you know, members of Congress who know that their constituents have a plant that makes whatever piece of military equipment in their district. And so even though the Pentagon itself may not even want that piece of equipment anymore, Congress just keeps approving higher and higher budgets because they're paying for these outdated sort of types of equipment. And then, then the Pentagon also says, well, we also need, you know, the new stuff that we actually want. But that just means we need a bigger and bigger budget each year. And again, there's zero oversight and very little effort to push back against that, because so often it's all justified with, you know, national defense, and we have to protect every, you know, this kind of post 9/11 scaremonger tactic, as opposed to really recognizing that no, having this bloated military that then and that operates with this culture of impunity, where then generals are going off and working for other countries because there's no oversight. I mean, this is not contributing to America's national security.
You mentioned the UAE, Saudi Arabia, I think, and Australia. Are there any other countries we should worry about that these military people are taking jobs with? Or are they taking jobs with, any Asian countries, or, you know what I mean? Any others to worry about?
Well, so for the most part, we have not, or I have not seen any record of service members taking jobs in countries that we would consider a rival. So, you know, Iran or Russia or China, that's not happening. I mean, I think that would really,
can you imagine how that would look?
The culture, yeah. Right, that go against the culture of the military. But, you know, countries like Saudi Arabia or the UAE, where the United States is accustomed to working very closely with these countries for the, you know, past 20 plus years, for the war on terror, even before that, since the first Gulf War. And in my opinion, this is very much contributing to this attitude that the United States has to remain so fully committed to these countries. We have to maintain these thousands of American service members stationed in these countries, when, you know, do we, or is that just about some of these generals wanting to have a nice job consulting afterwards?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've been welded at the hip when it comes to our military with Saudi Arabia, but we have a love-hate relationship with that country. In fact, the terrorists on 9/11 were Saudi Arabians, I believe. Most of them were.
The majority of them, yeah. I think 15 of the 19 were Saudi.
And I know, I'll not forget that right after the attack on 9/11, when President George W. Bush was in, they sent back members of the Saudi Arabian families from the United States. They boarded planes in the middle of the night almost and got them the hell out of town. So I always thought about that, knowing that Saudi Arabia and, just not knowing or knowing that there was a connection. And yet, let's face it, Saudi Arabia's got lots of money. These people have a lot of money from selling all of their oil. And So you can kind of understand, I guess, when they wave it in front of your face. But if you've got Saudi Arabia, I'm going to think, if any country has a grip on what's going on in our Pentagon and with military equipment, it's probably Saudi Arabia.
No, it's true. They are our biggest customer. So not only do we remain dependent on foreign oil, and Saudi Arabia being one of the only countries in the world that can control the price of oil because they're able to either ramp up or scale down oil production. You know, people may have heard about the OPEC Plus decision to cut production by 2 million barrels per day. You know, that was spearheaded by the Saudis in part to support Russia because, you know, Russian oil is now sanctioned following the invasion of Ukraine. And so Russia would like the price of oil to stay as high as possible because they're selling it at a discount to China now. And the Saudis say, sure, Putin, you know, we're happy to keep that price of oil higher. That's good for us. Even though we had Biden, you know, going hat in hand over the summer to say, please, in the past, American presidents could count on the Saudis to release more oil if needed, to help bring the price back down because we provide for their security. They're entirely dependent on the United States for things like keeping their Air Force in the air, for example. Those are U.S. Absolutely. Military contractors that keep their planes flying. And so the fact that Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, felt that he could, you know, announce this production cut just indicates that the Saudis seem to think that they control us as opposed to what is really more of kind of a mutually codependent relationship.
Well, of course. They're playing both sides against the middle, are they not? Because they're going to both sides for different things. They depend on our military, and they're bartering around with Russia when it comes to energy now. They thumb their nose at Biden.
Yep.
And we got all these military people. I mean, now you mentioned, Anel, that Congress should open an investigation into this whole thing. Do you think that there's a good chance that they will?
I think a lot of that depends on public outrage. You know, if they're hearing from their constituents that this is not acceptable, then members of Congress will respond. I think, unfortunately, again, as I mentioned, because people's trust in the military has declined, people might shake their heads and say, well, it just goes to show, you know, you can't trust anyone, which, again, is really quite dangerous. I think it is crucial that Americans trust that our military is operating to serve our public interest and you know, trust that the military is going to be there to protect us. So I think it would be very important for Congress to do so, to help try to restore some trust. If the Pentagon said, yes, we recognize this is a problem and we're going to address it and here are the steps we're taking, I think that could go a long way to showing the American people that the Pentagon is serious about addressing this, this issue.
There's a fine line between freedom of speech and freedom of association, which would allow people that have left the military to go anywhere and get a job, and the fact that they carry with them information about our defense.
Right. Well, and you know, constitutionally, former government officials and military officials are not allowed to work for foreign governments. I mean, that's the Emoluments Clause. They're only allowed to do so with permission, although, as we said, the process by which they receive permission is essentially a rubber stamp. And so, you know, I think probably what needs to happen is either Congress or the Pentagon need to institute a more robust process by which people request permission. And if it's a country like Saudi Arabia that's behaving contrary to our national interests, maybe those permissions are not granted.
Yeah. You know, another thing, I don't know if they're going to consider it, is to have something like a 5-year time lag between the time they retire and the time that they are able to work overseas.
That would help.
You know,
maybe even longer.
Maybe even longer. But if you have, a series of years between the time, it might be a little softer landing or whatever you want to call it, if they were to take those kinds of jobs.
Certainly, yeah. I think having a time barrier, having perhaps just more scrutiny, especially for some of these countries like Saudi Arabia that do engage in such horrific human rights abuses, you know, it's one thing to go work for the Australian government. You know, we're collaborating closely with them on our security. But for some of these other countries, there needs to be a lot more oversight.
Yeah. Well, Anel, I'm so glad to talk to you about this. I'm so glad that you're on this thing. It's so important. It really is. And maybe with the Washington Post and maybe with some of the networks talking about it, it will get into the mindset of the public. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for helping to let people know about this.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. All right. Anel Shaleen, Quincy Institute. Let us take our break. When we come back, will New York have its first Republican governor in, 40 years? It's been a long time. We're gonna talk with our eye in the northern sky, actually in the New York sky about it, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over 4 decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Boy, it's getting close to those election dates, huh? What is it? What's today? Monday? It's 2 weeks from today. Tomorrow, I think. Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow. All right. But listen to this. Kathy Hochul, currently the governor, who replaced Mario Cuomo, apparently her re-election strategy is not working out as planned. This guy, Lee Zeldin, is coming on, this Republican. It looks like there's a chance. He's pro-life. He's a supporter of Donald Trump. Can you imagine New York? Which, of course, Donald Trump is from New York, but apparently in a Democratic state like New York, he was never... I don't know why Donald Trump stayed as long as he did in New York, to be honest, especially after he entered the political world. But apparently, Hochul is responding with a last-minute shift in her political salvation campaign approach. She says, you deserve to feel safe. She's starting to... promote her efforts to create jobs and fight crime all of a sudden. Did she finally get religion? Well, we got our eye in the northern and New York sky with us, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, you and I have been talking now about this guy Lee Zeldin, and now it looks like there's really a shot that this guy could become the governor.
Absolutely. And the more and more I talk to people, I think more and more they have seen what Kathy Hochul has been doing, and now all of a sudden, within the last day or two, she started talking about adding more police officers.
She's having an epiphany. She's having an epiphany.
She's having an epiphany.
And a revelation.
Instead of just abortion and, you know, one other thing that she's been talking about, that's it. That's all they got to say. And now all of a sudden she's... Coming on board about the police and fighting crime and this and that. And the same thing with Congressman Morelli. He's starting to lose ground, too. And he's running scared now.
Is he? Now, Congressman Morelli is from what area of New York?
Area.
I'm sorry?
And he, the Rochester area, he took over Louis Slaughter, who passed away. She was a longtime congresswoman from Rochester, New York, representing the district up here, and he was elected in as her replacement. yeah, Democrat, but Lauren Singletary, who's the was the former police chief of the Rochester Police Department, is running against him.
I see.
So it's looking good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like right now we may have a chance in taking over the governor's
spot. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Now, this Lee Zeldin, he's a congressman from Long Island. He's holding almost daily press briefings outside subway stations in New York right now to highlight some of the crime that's going on in the city. And there has been a lot of it. Of course,
right.
The mayor of New York has been saying, quite frankly, if you think about the number of people that take the subway, the instances of crime on the subway are not that bad. When you have to come out as the mayor of New York and try to alibi your way out of subway crime, I think you're probably in some hot water, don't you think?
Absolutely. Crime is so rampant in New York State, it's unbelievable. Even in Rochester, we've had more homicides than ever before. It's all due to the fact that they, with this bail reform. Now she's talking about maybe we should take a look at the bail reform, and the same thing with Letitia James, the attorney general here in New York State. Maybe we should take a look at the bail reform. All of a sudden now, they're talking about it. All these other times, all it is abortion. That's it.
Yeah, you're right. There's been a switch, and you can start to see it across the country. It's not just in New York.
It's happening all over. I mean, I think people are fed up, and Lee Zeldin has been talking about the crime, the inflation, you know, the immigrants, the illegal immigrants that they're bringing into the country and coming into New York State.
Yeah. I was just watching this morning on one of the cable stations, even in Oregon, where they were having a race for, I think it's the governorship of Oregon.
Governor.
And it's three women. Is it the governorship? Yeah. Anyway, it's three women, two of whom are Democrats. One claims to be an independent, but she's actually a Democrat. And then there's the Republican. All of a sudden, these two the Democratic candidates are talking big time about crime. But think about how Portland went, you know, in the summer of, 2020?
2020.
All the rioting that was taking place in Portland, they attacked the federal building, although the liberals don't want you to know much about that one.
They don't talk about that.
But you're right. I mean, it's across the country now, even in liberal Oregon.
All they've talked about was the abortion issue, correct?
That was the number one. Well, that and climate change. Yeah, as if that really was on the minds of people that were not able to go to the store and buy.
They don't think about bread and butter. You know?
Exactly.
The staples of
No, I don't care
society.
About the cost of my gasoline or the bread and butter. I'm worried a little bit about the overflow of the ocean right now.
Well, look at what happened last week right here in Florida with the debate between Val Demings and Marco Rubio. Opening statement for Val Demings. Opening statement was, we have to get control and get behind climate change and get a hole and get rid of these massive hurricanes that are coming through. That was her opening statement.
You would think that her
opening statement, climate change.
You would think that her campaign leaders would say, hey, look. We got a border situation. But we got an inflation situation.
They have nothing else, Paul. What else are they going to run? Just like New York has got a police problem. Police are leaving there in droves. It's not about the money. Once they're getting their 20-year, they're out. They're only going for 10 years now, and they're out. But that's when the mayor should come out and say, listen, I'm behind the police. We're going to back you. We're going to give you more police. Don't give them overtime, because when you give police overtime, you take them from a different a spot that they might be policing to put them over here. You need more police. And you have to come out and say, listen, we need to hire more. I need to get behind that police department and have their back. That's what the two things is, having their back and enough police officers to be out there to patrol and to be safe.
And Val Demings comes from a police background, too. You would think that she would have understood that when she stands up there to start a debate.
Not when you vote 100% behind Nancy Pelosi, you
okay.
don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So Angelo, it's looking good. Are you able to do mail-in voting there in the state of New York?
I guess they have the mail-in voting
okay.
over here.
You do.
And they have early voting, too.
And you know, they have early voting, so you can go to a particular place and cast a ballot. Okay.
And cast a ballot early, right.
You know what I was hearing? Yeah. I just want to get your opinion, maybe Ed's too. In Florida, they start counting the ballots as soon as they start coming in. We have a mail-in voting system. We've been doing it a little bit longer than everybody else.
Mm.
And they start counting the ballots so that by the time November the 4th rolls around, or November the 7th or whatever it is, or 8th.
8th.
We've already got a leg up on getting the completed vote count out.
Right.
But do you remember how long it took for a couple of those states that waited until all... Yes.
Days?
Maybe a week before we knew for sure. I mean, I don't understand that. In New York, Angelo, do you know if they start counting ballots as soon as they start coming in?
No, I think they start counting them after the election day.
So we may not know about Kathy
Hochul. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying we may not know about the outcome of Kathy Hochul and Lee Zeldin right away.
Well, the Democrats will try to figure something out to delay it somehow so mm-hmm. that they can be looking around for some of these voters, you know, the dead voters, so to speak.
Yeah, you think there's going to be some of that?
Yeah, there could be some of that.
Okay.
Who the heck knows? New York State is kind of funny. We don't have a recall, you know, if the governor's bad, like California did, and they still voted that idiot in, Newsom, you know?
Right. I'm just looking at the polls right now for New York. I see on a college poll, and this was actually a week ago, so this has changed, but it showed Hochul a week ago with an 11-point lead over Zeldin. But it was down from 17 points a month ago. But later in the day, this is again last Tuesday, a Quinnipiac poll gave Hochul a 4-point lead. So, and you know.
Now I think it's a dead heat.
Yeah.
I think it's a dead heat, and when it's like that, he can win.
I have heard.
You still got your undecided voters. I mean, any true American or New Yorker, so to speak, here, if you see what's been happening, the crime, the inflation, the defund the police, even here in Rochester, the Police Accountability Board was formed, and they're fighting amongst themselves. And 99% of those people on the Police Accountability Board are against the police department anyway. And the people have to see that.
That's unbelievable. And all of these major cities need police. They're leaving.
They're
taking off.
In droves. Well, I mean,
they're leaving in droves is right. And look at the crime.
The administration doesn't have your back. Why would you want to be a police officer? You'd be afraid to do your job.
Yeah, that's why you would think a lot of these major cities could be very surprising with some of their voting. I mean, I don't know if they'll get the religion or not. They're so heavily Democratic. But those are the ones that suffer the most with this crime issue.
I mean, even if you're Democratic, Why would you vote for that? Are you happy with what's going on? As a Democrat, I would be ashamed. If I was a Democrat today, I'd be ashamed of the Democratic Party.
Do you think this could be? I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you. Do you think this could be the? You know, at some point, everything comes to a close, and even Democratic control of major cities, at some point, will change. And maybe Republicans will start taking control of them. Do you think we're at that point where people are starting to think in these cities that, hey, maybe, you know, I've been going generations with what's going on in these cities. Let's try something new.
I would hope they would think that way. I mean, why would you want crime as rampant as it is? Why would you want a police department that doesn't have police officers because they can't get anybody to do the job anymore? Why would you put an administration in these blue cities? It's beyond belief. Why? Because the Democrats are giving them handouts? All the money in the world can't bring you the safety and confidence in your well-being living in a city like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to remember, too, all those migrants that are being bussed up there, that they're not roaming the streets of New York. They're being put up in those big tents with a cot, a phone, Xbox games, and stuff like that, that homeless people don't even have access to. So they're not roaming the streets, but it's costing money. It's costing money every day for New York City.
I mean, that's one more reason why these people that live in these cities should think about the alternative. Now, normally, Republicans run almost cardboard cutout candidates because they know they have no chance of winning. So I don't know about the quality of the, for instance, you know, these major cities that are going to have elections. I don't know about the quality of the people, but anything's better than what they got, you would think. Anyway.
You would think, right? I mean, they got to be a little bit better than what's out there now.
Hey, finally, since you're up in New York, Angelo, AOC. By the way, I can't even remember her real name because we've been calling her AOC for so long. Anyway.
Sandy Cortez.
Okay. Ms. Cortez is up for election because she's in Congress. Is there any chance the Republican can win that district, do you think?
Well, I guess she was booed and ridiculed and heckled at this last thing that she had. And, you know, I mean...
She was dancing rhythmically to the boos.
Yeah, she was dancing.
What's going on.
She was dancing to it.
Yeah, she was kind of thumbing her nose at the people that were in the room that were...
kind of like, I don't need your vote. I've got plenty of votes, you know? That's something else.
It's just amazing.
I mean, if people put her back in that area to represent them, they deserve what they get done.
Angelo, are things doing well with you?
Yeah, I just got back yesterday afternoon from the Honor Flight. Went to Washington, D.C.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did, yes. Went to Washington.
Tell us about that.
All the memorials and everything with Vietnam veterans, World War II veterans, some Korean War veterans.
Right, and you've honorably served in the Vietnam War. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was a chance of a lifetime. You know, fantastic. And
I
my
bet
son
it
was my guardian, and, you know, he'd never been to Washington, and he'd seen all the stuff, and he saw the Vietnam Memorial with all the names of the men that were killed in action, and Arlington National Cemetery.
Oh, yes.
He was very impressed with, you know, and to see the graves in Arlington, he was just in awe.
Yeah.
And I says, and you see why a lot of people in this country see what's going on, and they don't like it. I mean, you fight for this country in our Constitution, and you see what has transpired and why we feel the way we do.
Right. Absolutely right. Angelo, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. Look forward to our next talking.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Angelo,
see you next week.
All right, buddy. Angelo Ceresi. All right, let's take our final break, and when we come back, we are going to focus on Joe Biden's history of berating reporters when they ask him tough questions.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events, stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works. And by the way, thank you for joining us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. We thank you that you find time to listen. However, if you are not able to listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website. He's got all our shows on tape. All you got to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows, most recent all the way down. You'll know the guest and the top 10 before you start the show. And away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so President Biden continues his tradition of barking at reporters when he snapped at journalists last week who pressed him on a lack of campaign trail appearances ahead of the midterm elections and abortion restrictions. Now, Biden's been hostile with the press on multiple occasions. Despite the mainstream media's reliable liberal slant, he's called a reporter a kid, often talks down to members of the press, called Kelly O'Donnell a pain in the neck in the Oval Office for a question about a vaccine mandate for veterans, and once called Fox News' Peter Doocy a stupid son of a you-know-what. The White House faced questions last week regarding Biden's slim calendar. Apparently, they aren't invited. The Democrats running in some of these key races said, no thanks, we don't need Joe. So regarding Biden's slim calendar, with multiple reports saying that the Democrats in tight races view him as a liability, it appeared Biden did not appreciate it when a reporter asked about his campaign plans as he was walking to Marine One last week. Here was the reporter's question. John Fetterman is going to appear with you today in Pennsylvania, but there haven't been that many candidates campaigning with you. Why? And Biden said, that's not true. There have been 15. Count, kid. Count. You know, the 15, who are they? Dog catcher, yeah. Sanitation engineer, assistant home monitor. Where are these people? I don't recall anybody important that he's been standing next to.
Nobody's invited him.
The reporter pressed, are there going to be any more? Biden said, yeah, before moving on. Biden stepped away from a female reporter he referred to as a kid when a different member of the press asked if there should be any restrictions on abortion. Biden said there should be, so the reporter followed up. In Roe versus Wade, read it, man. You'll get educated. This is Biden responding to the reporter about on the follow-up. Then when he's even asked softball questions from sympathetic members of the press, he can have a history of responding angrily. Here was one he said when they were talking about his ratings. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That's what Biden said earlier when asked by a reporter what he would say to Democrats who didn't want him to run for a second term. Let's see here. Biden snapped at a reporter in June when he was asked about the Economist warning of a possible recession. And this is Biden. Not the majority of them aren't saying that. Come on. Don't make things up, okay? Now you sound like a Republican politician. Then he said quickly, I'm joking. That was a joke. Every once in a while he has a comeback like that. We could go on for quite a bit of time there, but I want to, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I watched with sadness and dismay the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe they were playing the Carolina Panthers, and they were favored by double digits. They only scored a field goal.
I don't know. I didn't watch the game.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I had the choice to have a day off with somebody or spend it watching the game, and I made the right decision.
You certainly did. Yeah. Let's leave that one alone. Now we've got the World Series coming up. And it's going.
And the Yankees are not in it. And the, oh, boy.
The Yanks are not there. It's going to be Houston versus swept. Philadelphia. So let me just ask you real quickly. Who do you think is going to win the series?
I think Philly will win.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And I'm pulling for them because they train here in Clearwater.
You don't like Houston anyway. You've never forgotten that they're cheaters.
No, they're cheaters.
All right. Fair enough. It's time for our top 10, Ed. Get over there on the drums, if you would. These are the top 10 violations as reported by the Occupational and Safety Health Agency, OSHA, or administration, I should say. And this is for fiscal year 2022. This data includes violations between October 1st of 21 and September 6th of 2022. Here we go. Number 10, machine guarding. 1,370 violations. I guess you'd have to stand watch over certain machines. All right. Number 9, personal protective and life-saving equipment, specifically eye and face protection. You know, when you got
safety gear,
goggles. Yeah, exactly. All right. Number 8, fall protection training requirements. Just the training requirements department. Okay. Number 7, powered industrial trucks. I can understand that. All those trucks running around, forklift trucks and whatever, bulldozers. Number 6, I'm not sure what this one means, but it's lockout / tag out. Lockout, tag out.
Got me.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to figure it
out
later.
Take the word for it.
Number 5. This is kind of scary. Number 5 is scaffolding. What would if you were standing outside of a building? You know, I knew a guy that washed windows on the outside of New York skyscrapers.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. But he did.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that in a million years. Number 4, ladders. I can understand ladders being
people fall off ladders all the time.
Fall off. Something lands on you from the ladder, whatever. Number 3.
There's a reason they don't want you standing on that top step.
God, yeah. Oh, my God. I don't even like to think about it. Number 3, respiratory protection. You know, when you're working around chemicals and paints and all kinds of things like that, I can believe that. That's very, very important. Number 2, hazard communication. I guess it means be careful, signs.
Right.
Whatever it is that you need to know ahead of operating machinery and stuff and being in the vicinity of that machinery. All right, my friend. I know you don't have a direct idea, but can you even get into any area at all that you think would be number one most frequent violation of OSHA?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. It isn't coming in to work drunk either, by the way. It's actually fall protection general requirements.
Okay.
In other words, the other one was training requirements, but this is general requirements. 5,260 violations in fiscal year 2022. So I guess it's, working with heights and whatever that stands for.
Hey, we got to remind everybody to watch the debate tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Channel 8. It's from, I believe, just from 7 to 8.
This is between Governor DeSantis and our buddy Charlie Crist.
Oh, yeah.
8 o'clock. What channel?
Channel 8.
Channel 8.
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. 7 o'clock, Channel 8, the governor's debate. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.